Amen. Good morning once again. I pray that you've been blessed already by that worship. May God's the presence of God. Nothing is like the presence of God. Amen. Give the Lord a hand because he deserves it. Thank God for what he's doing. Thank God for, again, a worship team that focuses on bringing honor and glory to God, right? And it's not about performance. It's about honoring him. A couple things just want to share here real quick. Just a couple things. I just want to submit. Zachary, got something for you. I just want, again, these are submitted words to you. Okay, I know Zach a little bit. One thing I sense that you're really going to be tempted in these coming months, just these months, in pride, and you're going to feel like you have to have answers, like you have to have the right answer, and you're gonna sense that pressure, and you got to be aware of that because there's a temptation that you have that I gotta be the one with the answer, even if you're not sure of it. But you want to come across confident. And the Father's saying, look, your strength is in your humility. And to stay humble. Stay extremely teachable. You should be one that, you should be an example of one who is quick to say, I don't know. It's one of the checks I just submit to you. God said, nope, be quick to say, I don't know. And there's strength in that, that you could stay teachable where you are in your life. Okay, so again, take that, meditate upon it. Let it happen. And for Heather, real quick, this is going to be a year of joy for you. Not just a restoration of joy, but a joy you've never known before. Okay, he's breaking down walls inside that have been there. Some of them you've constructed. All right, some of them the devil has helped build, okay? But those walls are going to come down. And so the word for you, amen, is it really just be humble. Allow, you got to trust the people God puts around you that you can walk and find complete and total healing. Amen? Because this is going to be a year of unprecedented joy for you. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Give the Lord a hand because he's good that way. We want God to be able to speak when we come together. He wants to speak. We want to allow him to speak. Amen? So we always want to be open to that. Appreciated that worship. I don't know if I have to preach after that, but being a pastor, I will anyway. So amen. So that's what we're going to do here. It is so good to be here on Christmas Day, on a day that said that we remember what God did, what God initiated. And, you know, I appreciate the wonder of Christmas. The wonder of Christmas, the excitement of Christmas. We have a couple of our young grandchildren living with us right now and get to kind of relive some of that. But you may remember back when you were a kid that there was a wonder of Christmas. There was an excitement. And, of course, a lot of that excitement when you're a child is over what you're going to get, right? And what's going to happen. And that excitement of coming into the living room or wherever the tree was and what's going to happen. And most of us have really fond memories of those times. Because it was wondrous. And you know, relatives that didn't get along other times of the year got along, right? And it was a different time. And it's idyllic. And man, it was wondrous. But what the question we all have to ask ourselves is, what happened to those moments? What, we grew up and we lost our wonder? I mean, is that mature? Is it mature to lose the joy of what God has done? Right? So what we're going to want to do here today is we want to remember why we should be wondrous about Christmas itself. There should be a wonder that fills you and I, that gives us joy, that elicits something inside of you of life. And one of the things we forget is that there's, you know, Christmas represents miracles. Say miracles. Miracles, things beyond the realm of human understanding. And we just want to look quickly at four different miracles of Christmas. You know, the miracle of who came at Christmas, the miracle of how he came, the miracle of who he came for, and the miracle of why. Why did he come? Because what you're saying, this is a glorious time. And in these moments together, these next moments, the hope that I have is that you're renewed in the wonder of Christmas. You're renewed in the reality of what Jesus has done for us. And that, again, think about this. The greatest gift any of us have ever received was given before we were ever born. And it was in the form of a Savior 2,000 years ago. There will never be a greater gift than that. And God, renew the wonder. Right? Renew it, God. I pray that he renews that inside of us. Because again, we get to a place where where we ask, and there's young people in our life, in all of our lives, they're asking, what is the big deal about Christmas? Like, what's the big deal? Like, what is it? What's really going on here? And when you think about it, what was the first Christmas about? You know, we had the Jewish people who for hundreds and hundreds of years were being told, you're going to be, there's a deliverer coming. There's someone coming from the house of David, from the family of David, and this Savior is going to come. And they've been waiting a long, long time. And at the time of the first Christmas, we see that they were under Roman rule, not just occupation, Roman rule. And it was barbaric in a lot of ways. And even the religious leaders were political. They were appointed. They were appointed by Rome. I mean, it was not a good time. It was not a good place for them at that time. And you see, but at Christmas, we celebrate the initiation of God's plan to set them free. And I was contemplating the other day about D-Day. And how many of you know what D-Day represents? Okay, right. D-Day. D-Day was the day that the Allied forces, 150,000 strong, over 6,000 ships, crossed the English Channel and landed in France in World War II, because Germany had basically taken over the whole European continent. Right? It was a big day. If you know who it was a big day for? The Frenchmen. The French had been overrun by the Germans. And they had lost their nation. They weren't just occupied, they were being ruled by Nazi Germany. They're being ruled. And you know what? They could not help themselves. There's nothing they could do. They could not conquer the enemy that was against them. And they had heard that the Allies were going to do something, but they didn't see it. And for a few years, they've been waiting. But there was never any manifestation of this happening. But on D-Day, they could see the Allies show up. They could see help arrive. And when the help arrived, it was big and it was strong and it was fearless. How big of a day do you think that was for the French when those Allied forces landed in France and established a beachhead? Because it was literally just a matter of months before Germany, it was a little over a year, Germany was defeated and they were all set free. See, the point is, they had heard about deliverance. They had heard that the Allies were coming because they couldn't help themselves. But on D-Day, they could see it. They could see it. Now, it wasn't the end of the war, but it was the beginning of the end of the war. See, and Christmas Day is the same thing. You know, the Jews were under occupation. They were an oppressed people. And then these prophetic words happened, and Mary gets a word, Elizabeth gets a word, Joseph gets a word, right? And then the shepherds get the word that this Savior's been born. And again, see, they had heard about this for hundreds of years, but now they could see the deliverance of Israel. They could see it. This is flesh and blood. This is the deliverer. Now, it wasn't the end of their trouble, but it was the beginning of the end. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. The manifestation, something you can see, that God came. He said he would come, and he did. Amen? Amen. He said he would, and he did. And they could see it now. It wasn't just a thought. It wasn't just something that their grandparents and their grandparents and their great-great-grandparents talked about. We could see Jesus. That excites me. That excites me. And again, it's wondrous. It's wondrous that God had such a wild plan in the first place. But you know, just like the Allies invaded Europe, really, on Christmas Day, God invaded the earth. He invaded the earth. He came in a big way, and he came to set people free. And that is what we celebrate. D-Day was a big day, but it's not as big as what Jesus Christ did for us. Amen? There's no bigger day in history than God invading earth in the presence of Jesus. There's no bigger day in history. People celebrated, made a big deal about the Immaculate Reception, right? Really, that ain't nothing compared to the Immaculate Conception, right? Really, think about that. We got to remember that. This is a miracle. This is an absolute miracle, and God came to earth. He came to earth, and we don't want to forget that. Let's just pray right now. Father, we come before you, and God, we thank you. Let them hear your voice say thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that at Christmas you showed us in reality. You showed those Jews 2,000 years ago, God, that they were Their deliverance was at hand. They were remembered by you, that you are for them. And God, today you're for us. You are for me. You're for me. God, let us return and remember the wonder of what we have in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. So again, just let's look at these miracles of God, these amazing miracles. You know, the first thing that's to me is most amazing is that God would say, the miracle that it's who came on Christmas, that God would say he would come in the flesh, in the flesh. Colossians 1, 15 to 17, okay, states this. And I'm just going to highlight it. It says that Jesus was the exact living image of the unseen God. And it goes on to say that he was actually their creation and the creator. That Jesus was God. That's wondrous. That's so wondrous. Most of us don't want to talk about it to people that aren't Christians because we figure they'll say you're nuts, right? That's reality. But that's part of the wonder. God came to earth. God came and dwelt in flesh. It's stunning. You know, Jesus didn't just happen and begin in the stable, right, in the manger. No, he was God before that. That was just the day that he came to earth. He existed way before that. That's what we believe, and that's what our hope is in. We serve a powerful God, right, not limited by time and space. Amen? It's wondrous. It's wondrous that he would come. And there's no confusing that he claimed to be God. You know, Jesus never claimed to be a good teacher. Never claimed. He claimed to be God. And there's a huge difference between the two. You know, if I stood before you today and I said, you know what? I'm a good man. And probably all of you would say, you know what? Yeah, I know you. You're a pretty good guy. You're a pretty good guy. And if I said to you, I'm a good teacher, maybe not as many would say yes, but most of you would say, you know what, yeah, you're a pretty good teacher. Excellent. Now, if I stood up here and said, I'm God, okay, the agenda just changed, okay? And you're either going to say, yes, Gary, you're God. We got to pray for you first if you do that. But you have to say, yes, Gary, you're God. We have to do what you say. Or you have to say you're a manipulator and a con and a liar. Or you need to take me to Western Psych, right? One of those three have to happen. See, you can't be a good man and be God and claim to be God. No, he never claimed to be a good man or a good teacher. He said, I am God. I am God. And it was confounding. It was confounding to them. But that's real. That's part of the wonder. That is a miracle. Say miracle. It's a miracle that God would come like that. God, restore that wonder to us that you came in such an amazing, amazing way. You know, it says in John 10, Jesus said this statement. He said, I and the Father are one. We're one. Wow. No wonder the Jews were popping their buttons over the stuff he was saying, right? It was blasphemous. But he was telling the truth. He was telling the truth. It was proven out. It was proven out, of course, by the way he lived and what he had done. Let's move on here. The miracle of how he came. And, of course, the next miracle to me is he came, and he came as a man. Philippians chapter 2, we talked about this in our past series. Right? Again, just this highlighting this verse. Jesus gave up his place as God and became nothing. He emptied himself. He emptied himself of who he was as God to come down and take on a human form. He lived as a man. He humbled himself to be a man. That is beyond reason. Is that wondrous? Absolutely, it's wondrous. Absolutely. I mean, this is a miracle. All the ways God could come to communicate who he was, he chose to come in human form. He could have just wrote it in the sky, right? He could have wrote it in the sky. He could have put satellite TV in every palace and every stable in the world and announced it, right? He could have come in thunder and lightning, but he came as a baby, I mean, is that the way you'd have revealed yourself if you were God? Right? He came as a child like this. And it's wondrous. But again, why did God come as a baby? Why did he come as a baby? Well, could it be, again, he came as a baby because he wanted to let us know he came to save us and not scare us. You know, we see a story in Exodus chapter 19 and 20 where the Jews had an encounter with God, and they came to the holy mountain, and there was thunder and there was fire. And the Jews came away from that experience telling Moses, "Moses, you go talk to God for us. That was too terrifying. It was too terrifying to witness you." See, reality was, I believe he just came and announced himself in the sky, not only would it be impersonal, it would scare the heaven that was left out of most of us. So how did he come? He came as a child, not just a human, not a full-grown human. He came as a baby. He came as a baby. And allow that reality to sink in. And he didn't just come to save us. He also, God wants you to know him. I mean, he already knows everything about you. Everything. He knows what you were thinking about when you came in. He knows if you thought the worship was too loud today, right? He knows if you're looking at your watch right now and wanting me to get done quicker. He knows all those things. See, he knows that. But what he wants is for James to know him. That's what he wants. He wants Carly to know him. That's the desire. And he came to earth for the purpose of us knowing who he is. What did we just sing? God is for you. Say for you. God is for you. He's for you. That's the communication. He knows you. He wants you to know him. And how's he going to do that? Well, he came in human form. That's something I can understand. He came as a baby. But he didn't just stay a baby. He became a man. And as he became a man, what did he do? He represented what a perfect life could be. And going through that perfect life, what else did he do? He was tempted in everything I was tempted in. He knows physical pain. He knows emotional pain. He knows betrayal. He knows torture. He knows all of these things. And he lived through it perfectly. And then what did he do? He laid down his life. He died for you. And better yet, he rose from the dead and was seen alive. Right? But he came as a man. I can understand that. I can't necessarily relate to if he just appeared in the sky and it was one of those let the force be with you kind of gods, right? If he was coming to save birds, he'd probably become a bird, right? But he came to save humans. He came to save us. Man, so appreciate that. Appreciate that miracle that he came as a man. What's the next miracle? Okay. Who he came to. Okay. Who did he come to? Who did God invite first to come and see him? Lowly shepherds. He came to the most ordinary people. Okay. And I think about where he came. He didn't come in a hospital. He didn't come in a nice hotel. Right. He was delivered. But, you know, it appears by the scriptural record he was delivered outside of a home, and there was no place to stay, so they were in basically a barn, born in a barn. The word manger literally means feeding trough. So really, we romanticize that whole manger thing. When it says he was laid in a manger, it means he was laid in the trough, like that picture on the bumper had. He was laid in a trough. And if that's where you throw the oats and the wheat and the stuff that the cows eat, where they stick their noses in, you know, and saliva comes out of their mouths, and right? That's where he was laid. What's the point of all that? He didn't come in a palace. He didn't come in a gated community. He came where anybody could come and see him. Anybody. The shepherds, the wise men did come, right? But they didn't find a king in a palace, did they? He is available to everyone. He's available to everyone. That is the God that you and I serve. One who says, I will come, and I came for everybody. Everybody. John chapter 1, verse 14. Jesus, speaking of Jesus here, John writes, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Think about that. He dwelt among us. He came and lived with us, right? We sing Emmanuel. He's God with us, and he's God with you. There's no one too far away, no one he can't relate to, right? He is for everyone, and he's here to renew you today. It's also significant. It's wondrous. You know, and again, God meets us where we are. Some of us today, even though we know Jesus, even though we know him, some of us today feel far away. You feel far from him. He seems distant. Listen. He didn't move. You did. Come back and catch the wonder of who he is, that he is God, that he came in the flesh, that he came for you, and he wants you to know him. That's the deal. The miracle of why he came. You know, again, when I think about the miracles of why, and I contemplate that, you know, the other miracles are great, but the biggest miracle is why. Why did he come to earth? Why did he go through all this? In John 18, okay, let's read this. Jesus says, actually, I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize that what I say is true. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life. John 12:48, the one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge, right? The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. Listen, what do you see here? What's God really speaking? What happened when he came? Why did he come? He came to declare the truth. He came to give life, and he came to forgive sin, that you wouldn't have to be judged at the end of time. Tell me, is that a pretty good menu, right? Can you live with that, right? He came to testify of truth. Well, what truth? What truth would he be speaking about? The truth, first, the main thing, there's many things we could say here. The main thing is you matter to God. You matter to God. He came because you matter and I matter. Lost man matters. The person who has offended you more than anyone else in your life, do you know who that is? I know they pop into your head right away, right? Listen, he came for them. He came for them. You matter. Mankind matters. That's the first truth, right? The truth. Of course, there's truth about who he is, but for time's sake, you matter. That's what this whole thing is about. If we did not matter to God, he could have just burned up the whole earth and started over again. He went through all this because you matter to him. God, help us grasp. The greatest tragedy of life is that people go their whole lives and never know they matter to God. They go their whole life. You know, so many people, even Christians, really live, they think they're living, but really they're just existing. They make it, particularly in our country, you have a good living, maybe go to church, maybe even tithe, but you're not living with a purpose. You don't know who you are. Until you know Jesus, you do not know who you are. Until you know Jesus, you really don't know how to love, right? Because until you start giving yourself away, which is our purpose, which is what Jesus did, following his example, you don't know how to live. Until you learn to give, you're not living. No giving, no living. We're talking about your whole life, your whole being, everything that you are. God, help us catch this. And again, so he came to declare truth. He also came that you could have life, full life, not just existing, but purpose-filled living. That is what he came for. That's what he wants for all of us. Man, God, help us catch that. And this thing too, listen, he came to forgive you. He came that you would not be judged for your sin, because you deserve to go to hell, and so do I. We deserve to be eternally damned and separated from God. That's reality. We deserve that. There was a big problem though. He loves us, he cares for us, but to get into heaven, you have to be perfect. Okay? None of us are perfect, are we? Right? To be perfect means that you've never had an impure thought. It means that you haven't just not done anything wrong. You did everything right you were supposed to. Right? That ship sailed for us a long time ago, didn't it? There is no perfection. See, you could get to heaven if you could be perfect. Right? But none of us could do that. So he came up with a more realistic plan. That realistic plan was for his son, for God himself to come to earth, live the perfect life, and lay down his life and die for us. Then, heaven's filled with perfection. When you come before God, he says, why should I let you into heaven? Right? The answer is, look, I've been made perfect, not by my own being doing, but by Jesus Christ, who lived the life. He is God. He rose from the dead. I've asked him to forgive my sin and I endeavor to follow him all my days. It's on his name that I get in. On his perfection, I enter heaven. That is a wonder. That is a wonder. You don't get to heaven because you're good. You get to heaven because he's good. Is that wondrous or what? Can we have the worship team come back up, please? That is absolutely wondrous. You know, Christmas card. You know, Christmas card, I know I saw this a long time ago. But the Christmas card, you know, it says, you know, if the world needed education, it sent a teacher. If it needed technology, send a scientist. You needed money to send an economist. But what does the world really need? A savior. A savior. We need someone who is just, someone who is holy, someone who is perfect, who can forgive us. And that is what we have in Jesus Christ. See, and again, so remember this, what we celebrate, as we look, just be reminded of the miracles of Christmas. Be reminded of these miracles. The four miracles, it's just there again. Let this speak life to you. Let wonder be returned. That today, this week, you can be filled with wonder of what God has done. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Amen? So again, let's all stand, because we're going to sing. We're going to close in song. And as you sing this song, it's nostalgic, right? It's a hymn. But listen, I want you to allow the wonder of it to fill your heart, your soul, and your mind.